take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll read that passage responsively. While you're turning, I'll read yet one other verse. Psalm 34, verse 8 reads, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with devourers' lusts." And let's finish on verse 7 together, ready? "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And let's pray. Father, thank you that there is a place here on this property and in this state, in this region, in this country, where I believe that you're welcomed, but not just welcomed, that you love to be at. And that's our church. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. As he preaches to us, we're a needy people. We've seen you work in mighty ways today, and yet we still stand before you very needy. Pray that you help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this evening, I think, is so simple. You'll have to excuse the absence of illustration. You'll have to excuse the absence of humor. The sermon is so simplistic that, again, I'm almost embarrassed to deliver it to you, but somehow in its simplicity, you will find a depth, I think, in your spirit and in your soul. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Then we see in Psalm 34:8 it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Sometimes I fear that we tasted of salvation, but then we stopped tasting after salvation. The Bible here, when it talks about ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, notice somebody keeps learning, but they're just not getting it. Now, this salvation is the primary issue being taught here in this certain passage of Scripture about someone that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But there is some teaching here that goes beyond salvation. There's a principle, if you will, that we need to learn. Let me ask you a very, very personal question. How many times have you heard a particular truth, but you have never one time personally acted upon it? I'm speaking of simple truth, easy truth. As individuals, I think we sometimes hide in the midst of a successful church. We will not tolerate anything less than success, but we are not much contributors to that which we demand. What part of the Christian life would you be quick to defend as urgent, but you've never obeyed it yourself, ever? Only you and God will know how this simple sermon affects you, or even if it affects you at all. Now, if it requires me running all over the platform, yelling, screaming, telling jokes, having a puppet show to keep your attention, you'll doze off and again, you will have wasted a truth that could revolutionize your life. But I hope you'll pay attention on purpose. God never speaks to me audibly. And if he did, I'd probably drop over dead. But I think he speaks to my heart. This will sound a little odd. Some of you will appreciate what God's spoken to my heart about. God said to me, Jeff, don't talk too much tonight. He said, they hide in the multitude of your words. You simply lay it out, and I'll take it from there. I want to talk to you about, this is what I've entitled the sermon, Have You Ever? Have you ever? Point number one. Have you ever personally read your Bible all the way through? Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4 says, But he answered and said it, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Have you ever read your Bible all the way through? We are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, they're the words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And if we are to live by every word, I guess then that I should recommend to you that you read every word. Have you ever read it all the way through? Have you ever read it all the way through? I wish you would decide tonight that that is a big enough issue that you would begin to do something about it immediately. Parents, if your kids were to make the decision that they wanted to read their Bible all the way through, maybe you could do it with them. Have you ever read your Bible all the way through? We seem so spiritual, and yet we're so shallow. Point number two. Have you ever personally prayed on your knees for 1 hour? Have you ever prayed on your knees for 1 hour? Luke 6:12 says, And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. We say we believe in prayer. It's a good thing that we can't see each other 24/7. Those that shout the loudest in church pray the least. See, is that always true? No, not necessarily. It's often true. We say we believe in prayer, but we pray so very little. And so, you know, when I say, have you ever prayed on your knees for 1 hour, that's me being very gracious, because so often in the Bible it talks about people that prayed all night. An hour is not, it's not that big issue. I'm asking you, have you ever one time in your entire life, have you one time in your entire life read the Bible all the way through? Have you one time in your entire life prayed for 1 hour nonstop on your knees? We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. So sweet. We love to sing it. It was Grandma's favorite song. It brings tears to my eyes. But then let me ask you a question. You ever experience a sweet hour of prayer? Maybe you ought to decide to. Have you ever prayed on your knees for 1 hour? Ever. Ever. Point number three. Have you ever personally fasted for a 24-hour period? Have you ever personally fasted for a 24-hour period? Mark chapter 9, verse 29 says, And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Fasting is the giving up of your food and then spending extra time with your God in prayer and walking with God. The Bible says that there are certain issues of life. There are certain things that you need and certain things that you will go through and certain decisions that you will make. And you will only get what you need from God in the area of guidance and blessing if you have fasted and prayed over the matter. Have you ever, just one time, I'm asking, fasted and prayed for a 24-hour period? I'm not talking about because the doctor told you not to eat for 24 hours because you were going to take a test at the hospital. I'm talking about you did it for God on purpose. And again, I'm being very gracious because I could say, have you ever fasted and prayed until God gave you the answer? Or for a week? Have you ever fasted one meal? How many major decisions have you made with your belly full but your soul empty? And we wonder why we mess up our lives. I'm saying, have you ever fasted for one 24-hour period in your life? Point number four. Have you ever personally won anyone to Jesus Christ? Now the question is not, are you a member of a soul-winning church? And have you ever personally won anyone to Jesus Christ? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Would you all agree that the Bible's a big issue in life? Would you all agree that prayer is a big issue in life? Could we agree that fasting is a part of the Christian life? Could we agree that soul winning, witnessing is, in its simplest form, it's just the basic of the basic requirements of Christianity, right? Have you ever won anyone to Jesus Christ? Everybody is supposed to win at least somebody. Men, have you ever won an adult to Jesus Christ? Another man? Ladies, have you ever won another lady, an adult, to Christ? Have you ever witnessed to anyone? Now, first of all, I'm saying actually won them to Christ, but wait, maybe I ought to back off a little bit here. Have you ever even witnessed to anyone, gave them the plan of salvation, and asked them to get saved? Anyone. Maybe you should decide to win someone to Christ. Would it be unreasonable if a pastor said to the people, you ought to read your Bible all the way through? Would it be unreasonable for a pastor to say, you ought to at least one time in your life spend 1 hour in prayer? Surely there's enough confusion and need in life for that. Surely we need to fast about something. Surely somebody needs to be saved. Number five. Have you ever personally had one of your converts down the aisle baptized? Ever. Now, if you have to answer no to salvation, then you'll have to answer no to baptism. But Acts 2.41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 were saved, 3,000 were baptized, and they joined the church. It's a part of the three-part Great Commission, and you and I are responsible to be obedient to the Great Commission, getting people saved, getting people baptized. I didn't ask if you go to a church where it happens. Have you ever, I think you ought to get somebody saved. I think you ought to get them down the aisle and help them to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Won't you decide to do that? That'd be a good decision, Christian. Number six, have you ever personally had a solid year of perfect attendance to church? Ever? One solid year, perfect attendance. Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Notice that Jesus had a custom. It was a habit of being in church when he's supposed to be in church. Have you had a habitual attendance at church where you could say perfect attendance for just 1 year? It's 1 year perfect attendance. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but faithful man who can find." You say, "Well, I really don't believe that's possible." Your character, it may not be possible. But you can go back into America. In the previous generation, you could find people that would go for years and years and years and not miss work and not miss church. We're just excuse prone. Faithfulness is almost a thing of the past. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Never missed. I've been your pastor for almost 7 years. I don't do this to exalt. I do it to tell you it's possible. Think about how many times I've missed. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning in another country on Wednesday morning and make sure I'm here for church on Wednesday night and fly 3,500 miles to get here. And there's some people that live a half mile away from here that can't make it on Wednesday night because it rained. Have you ever had 1 year perfect attendance of church in your life? How about have you ever had a perfect year of attendance at work? We could almost change the economy if everybody would just go to work. "I want more days off." Well, that'll fix it. I did a little research. I'm proud of some people. In 2007 at Martinsburg Christian Academy, the following children did not miss one day of school. Harrison Bodwell, Amanda Lopez, Jeff Lopez, Jackson Russell, Caleb Nash, Paul Seavey, and Jessica Simpson. You say, it can't be done. Better tell those kids that you can't have a perfect attendance. My wife teaches the sixth grade girls Sunday school class, and I remember her bragging to me. She said, "Do you know that Katie Shiflett did not miss one single Sunday school class when I taught her through sixth grade? She was there 52 weeks in a row." Parents used to want that. You know, any of you from the previous generation remember that? Even if all you got was a little gold star on your chart, it wasn't about the star, it was about the character of the individual. But I know, that's a thing of the past. Maybe you ought to decide that you'll strive to have a perfect attendance 1 year in your life. Number 7. Have you ever been the primary influence of an adult or a family joining the church? Ever. Acts 2:47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Here it's talking about people being saved and joining the church. They were doing it daily. Have you ever, now, with God's help, have you ever personally added an adult or a family to the membership of the church? We like it when it happens. I'll guarantee you, there are people in this room that if there were not people being saved, being baptized, and joining the church, they'd go find another church, but they've never contributed to it one single time. I wish everybody could see things from my angle. The people that you couldn't satisfy them if you wanted to. But first of all, let's get right down to how much do you contribute in other areas. We could double size the church this week. Why? If we'd all just go get somebody, get them saved, get them baptized, help them join church. And you said, "That's ridiculous. That's not my plan." Don't beat up the spokesman. I'm just representative. Number 8. Have you ever personally wept over the need of salvation for anyone. Ever. I'm not asking you if you do these things every week. But that would be unfair. That would be unreasonable. Have you ever wept over somebody else's need of salvation? Ever. One time in your whole life, have you ever? The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse number 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And that sowing there is the sowing of the Word of God for the sake of the saving of the soul. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Have you ever wept for a lost person? You know what the average person tells me if they get with me one-on-one about that? Say, I don't know how to do that. We can weep if we lose money. Money's nothing compared to the soul of an individual. Have you ever wept over the soul of your mother? Or your father? Your wayward child that needs to be born again, have you wept any tears? God, I'd really like to see something happen in my life. I'd really like to see some wonderful things happen. Maybe you ought to read your Bible through. Maybe you ought to try staying on your knees. Maybe you ought to fast. Maybe you ought to get somebody saved. These are not complicated things, I don't think. These are the things that all of us would say, you know, these are important things. They're simple things. I've heard about it for a long, long time. I've heard it over and over and over and over again. The truth of the Bible is not there just to admire. This is not a museum. This is a hospital. This is a factory. It's a place of production. It's supposed to be. Have you ever personally wept over anyone? I'm not saying every week of your life. Have you ever shed a tear over the fact that somebody that you know will die and go to hell and they need to be saved? Ever. One time. Number 9. Have you ever personally come to the altar and made any type of a public decision other than making public your salvation? Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee. Here the Bible's talking about the using of an altar. Did you know the altar is not your enemy? To join the church, you have to come forward and we fill out a decision slip that says that you've been saved and that you've been baptized and joined the church. Now, past that, have you ever made any other type of a public decision at the altar? Ever. I'm not saying every week. I'm not saying every month. Ever. Number 10. Have you ever personally told God you would give Him all of you? Have you ever humbled yourself in sincerity and said to God with all your heart, you can have it all? 1 Kings 20 verse 4 says, and the king of Israel answered and said, my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have is thine. Have you ever surrendered all? Ever? Ever. We love the invitation song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. You do? When did you do that? Ever? Maybe somebody ought to say, you know, that's simple. That needs to be done. That's doable. Number 11. Have you ever personally fed a hungry person? Ever? Job 22:7 says, thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. Did you realize there are people that do need help with food? Somebody needs help. It's always somebody else that takes care of that, isn't it? Listen, have you ever gone to the store, spent your money, bought bags of groceries, and delivered it to a poor, hurting family? Ever? And I'll guarantee you that every individual in this house would say, I believe in feeding the hungry. I believe that ought to be done, and if you're not going to do it, there's something wrong with you. Good. I'm glad you feel that way. Have you ever? Ever? I'm not saying every week. I'm not saying every month. I'm just asking, ever? Number 12. Have you ever, personally, even one time given money to the Lord to the point that you had to do without because of it? It's called sacrificial giving. Mark chapter 12, verse 43 and 44 says, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Story is, a poor widow comes and she's got just a couple of pennies to her name, and she gives it all to the Lord. The other people are coming, and all the rich people are coming, and they were giving far more than her, except for when you look at the percentage, she gave 100%, they were giving 2 and 3%. God said she's the big giver, because giving is not about how much you gave. Sometimes it's about how much you have left after you gave. It's called sacrificial giving. So, here's the question. Have you ever given to God one time to the point that you had to do without, it was sacrificial, scary, and it was given by faith? Ever. Ever. Let's go on. And this is the last point. Have you ever personally set a goal to do something huge for God and then gave your all to accomplish it? Have you ever? Have you ever personally set a goal to do something huge for God, then gave your all to accomplish? I'm talking about you as an individual, one person, not your wife, not your husband, you, ever. One time. Matthew 19:26, Jesus, it says, but Jesus beheld them. With men, this is impossible, he said, but with God, all things are possible. Have you ever done anything that really took faith? You gave it all, your all, holding back nothing, totally out of your comfort zone, something was bigger and beyond you, and it would take all of you and then some to get it done? Ever? Just one time. Have you ever? Not someone else's goal, yours. I heard a quote not long ago. I was preaching, and it is this: attempt something impossible. There's really not much competition in that category. Have you ever? This is what I've asked this evening. Have you ever personally read your Bible all the way through? Number 2. Have you ever personally prayed on your knees for one solid hour? Number 3. Have you ever personally fasted for a 24-hour period? Number 4. Have you ever personally won someone to Jesus Christ? Number 5. Have you ever personally had one of your converts down the aisle and baptized? Number 6. Have you ever personally had one solid year of perfect attendance to church or to work? Number 7. Have you ever been the primary influence on a family or an adult joining our church? Number 8. Have you ever personally wept over the need of somebody else's salvation? Number 9. Have you ever personally come to the altar and made a decision public outside of joining the church or your salvation and baptism? Number 10. Have you ever personally told God that you would give Him your all? Number 11. Have you ever personally fed a hungry family or person? Number 12. Have you ever personally, even one time, given money to the church to the point that you had to do without because of it? Number number 13. Have you ever personally set a goal so high, so big, and then gave everything to make it happen, to accomplish that goal for your God? Now, some of you, you'll say, well, yes, I've done that. I've done that once. So you've done it once. Well, how old are you? So you think God gave you 60 years to do it once? Hey, how long has it been since you did it the last time? I've got to keep my deal. God said, don't talk too much. You throw it out there, I'll take care of the rest. We're going to have an altar call, but I just want you all to know, the altar call is not real important to me tonight. Because the easiest thing is coming to the altar. The hard thing is deciding if you ever will. How much longer will you put it off? Are these ridiculous things? Are these outlandish expectations? These are the simplest of truths and expectations of a Christian. Have you ever? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.